You are Locked On the NFL, your daily NFL podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Well, hello. I am Matt Williamson. You have found the Locked On NFL podcast. It's great to talk to you again. I'm a former NFL and college scout. I was at ESPN for 10 years as an analyst. Now I'm writing for Clayton Football. I urge you to check that out. That's John Clayton's new site. We're a month in. And as I do every Tuesday on the Locked On NFL podcast, I talk to who's becoming a buddy of mine, Sage Rosenfels. And it's been some really good conversations. Sage, how are you? I've enjoyed our Tuesdays immensely.
Yeah, I really enjoy getting to bounce around the whole league. You know, mostly I focus on the Vikings and now the Chicago Bears this year, as I've been asked to break down Mitchell Trubisky each week for The Score in Chicago. So it's nice to be able to go around the entire league and sort of the hot topics and the big games and the best stories, in particular amongst quarterbacks. And so, you know, this week, a lot of interesting storylines, in particular for quarterbacks, as there always is.
Yeah, and I do want to start there. I know you watch Trubisky every week, like you said, and we haven't talked about him for a couple weeks, and I think it's more encouraging every time I see him. I mean, I'll be honest, a month or so ago, I will concede that you were higher on him than I was. I was really worried about his accuracy and some decision-making, but I think he's taking noticeable steps forward. I like his supporting cast, as always, but he himself, if you just isolate him, is clearly getting better.
He is, and it does seem like usually he makes one to two really sort of bad plays, whether overthrow, which is, you know, he might throw a go route 4 or 5 yards out of bounds, and you know, Allen Robinson, his receiver, might have a step on the DB, and you're like, what the heck happened there? You know, that's when you talk about the accuracy, you know, and those types of things. But by the way, when you talk about his lack of accuracy, I would say on those throws are when he's the most inaccurate on just straight go routes. And he actually hit one for a touchdown in this game, but he does seem to just overthrow those sometimes by 4 or 5 yards. But almost all the underneath stuff, you know, the slants and they do a ton of, they really spread you laterally, horizontally across the field on all those, you know, wide receiver bubbles and all that type of stuff. He has been very accurate, you know, all year. He didn't have those mistakes though in this game. He didn't have that, you know, what were you thinking in the red zone? You basically threw it to the other team, or you know, when you really overthrew somebody. He did have an overthrow in this game on the go route, but man, for the most part, he was extremely accurate. He made really good decisions from crossing routes to moving a linebacker and protecting his inside slant on the backside. I mean, he did a really nice job in this ball game. He's sort of becoming more of a pro, it seems like, every week.
Yeah, I think that's a great point of his deep ball accuracy as opposed to the shorter stuff. And like you said, I mean, they are such a horizontally based offense that hitting those guys, you know, Tariq Cohen and Miller and Gabriel and all those dudes in stride really is important. And he has that Allen Robinson the last few weeks, and he did in this one. I'm not going to compare Trubisky to Bortles or Hackenberg, but we've seen Robinson going back to Penn State and early days in Jacksonville. He bailed out some quarterbacks throughout his career. And again, I'm not lumping Trubisky with them. But how much do you think having Robinson back was helping him out in this?
Oh, it's big. I mean, he's been his sort of go-to guy this year. You know, he's sort of the most steady. He's probably the lankiest, and he's not a huge guy, but he's probably the lankiest of the Bears wide receivers. He's the guys that play the most, you know, because I look at, you know, Taylor Gabriel's tiny, seemed like he's about 5'10", but obviously he's one of the fastest guys in the NFL and at the wide receiver position. Tariq Cohen, they're sort of using as a receiver. They'll actually have two running backs in the game, and he'll a lot of times play in the slot or something. And you know, teams really go in a lot of nickel defense against the Bears when they go those two running back sets. He's got – and then this kid Miller.
He's
out of Memphis. He is very good. I'm not sure he's as fast as Gabriel, but he has some legit quickness and playmaking ability. He broke all types of records at Memphis. I mean, Iowa State played against them in the bowl game last year, and he was a stud going into the game, and he was hurt Got hurt in that game. He had a bad shoulder. And interesting enough, early in the season, there was a couple games where his shoulder was really bothering him. You know, he'd come down on it. He'd have to be helped off the field a little bit or whatever. That doesn't seem to be an issue now. He is really performing, him and Robinson, and Gabriel and Cohen. And they love the tight end Burton, who does a heck of a job. Not the biggest guy in the world. But I tell you what, Kansas City, I think, has the best weapons in the NFL. Chicago's not too far behind. It's like they're just, it's like, you know, Kansas City's 10s at, you know, the Tyreek Hills and the Kelsey's and those types of guys. The Bears are like at 8.5s. Like, they're just a step below, not quite as good, but they've got a lot of them. You know, they've got 4 or 5 receivers they really like, and they're using their tight ends. They got, you know, 2 or 3 different running backs they're now using all over the field. They are a very multiple dimensional offense. And, you know, very, very difficult for teams to match up against.
Yeah, and the way you laid it out, I mean, I like Miller a lot, too. And I'm sure you've heard the analogy that receiving corps are like basketball teams. You know, like, the Saints always do this. They always have a big guy, and it goes all the way down to a shooting guard or to a point guard. And what I mean by that is, like, Burton's your center. Allen Robinson's your power forward. Miller's your small forward, and Cohen and Gabriel are your quick little guards. Like, they have a real wide variety.
Yeah, and it's sort of like they have a team of mostly a bunch of, like, you know, 1s, 2s, and 3s without really a 4 and a 5, but that's okay because all you know, they have like 5 guys who can play 1, 2, and 3. You know, they don't have a Terrell Owens or a Julio Jones type of guy. They don't have that big guy, but they've got so many smaller guys, you know, point guards and shooting guards, and they're just, so you can't match up well against them. Now, this week they play the Minnesota Vikings. I'm really intrigued of how the Vikings play them, because they, you know, they love man-to-man coverage with Xavier Rhodes and Trey Waynes, but this team, they don't match up well against, because the man-to-man, the receivers are so small and so quick. And now, early in the year, we saw the Vikings defense really get exposed and look pretty amateur when they played the LA Rams. Well, what did the LA Rams have at that time? 3 super fast wide receivers, and Robert Woods, and Brandon Cooks, and Cooper Kupp. Now, Cooper Kupp's a guy's ACL, obviously, but, you know, they had really 3 really fast guys. Well, the Vikings did not match up very well with those, you know, with those 3 guys because of that speed. And, you know, my concern is, you know, how will they match up versus this Bears offense, who has those same type of weapons?
Yeah, it's a good point, because I haven't really started thinking ahead the next week yet. But immediately when you said that, I'm like, well, Xavier Rhodes will go on Allen Robinson. But the rest of the puzzle pieces don't fit as well. You know, like you said, they have 6-foot big power corners. And that's not what you want against Gabriel or, you know, those wealth of weapons we mentioned.
Yeah, now Waynes, he's a smaller guy, and he can probably keep up, but it's like Xavier, he struggles with, you know, he was great against, you know, like the Packers receivers, Devontae Adams, he matches up really well against, or when Jordy Nelson was there, that was a good matchup for Xavier Rhodes, but those really small guys he struggles with. Now, the thing with the Bears is, again, they don't just have Robinson and Miller and Gabriel, but you really got to think of Tariq Cohen as a wide receiver, mm-hmm. and who's going to guard that guy. I'm now you're diving into, you know, putting a safety like a, you know, and Harrison Smith's a great player, but having to him try to cover Tariq Cohen all over the field is going to be a challenge. Is my guess is that the Minnesota Vikings play more zone defense in this game, you know, make Mitchell Trubisky earn it down the field, make him have those 8, 10, 12, 14 play drives, work his way down the field, see if he won't make a mistake, you know, see if a Danielle Hunter or Everson Griffin can't get a sack or something, you know, as he holds on the ball. That's one thing that he does sometimes a little too much, is he'll take, you know, 3-4 hitches in that pocket. And instead of, you know, checking the ball down, or he sort of holds on to the ball a little bit too long, trying to get something down the field. And so maybe that's an issue, or that's part of the game plan of Mike Zimmer this week, is a little more zone defense.
Yeah, and kind of like you alluded to, I think the Vikings pass rush is back in a big way. You know, Hunter, Griffin's back. What's the defensive tackle's having a really good year.
Sheldon Richardson can rush the passer, and obviously, sure, Linville Joseph, a little more run stopper, but, you know, for being a big guy, he can actually rush the passer decent as well. And they got this other kid, Weatherly, who I believe was a 7th round draft pick, And he has, you know, been a really nice sort of swing defensive end to give those other two Pro Bowl type guys a blow. So they're getting healthy. They're playing better defense. They've been playing against worse opponents. They played against two rookie quarterbacks there, back to back, and Stafford and the Lions are basically done, obviously, as we saw again this week. And so this is the first real legit playoff type team the Vikings have played in about a month.
Yeah, and what's your thoughts on the Vikes overall? I mean, they're coming off a bye. Dalvin Cook looks like he's back. I think that's huge. I think he's a great player. We talked a lot about the defense, obviously. They have a real tough schedule coming up, starting with this Bears game. And I tend to think that these are the best two teams in the North.
Yeah, I think so. And I think they've got the best talent. I think that, they may not have the best quarterback because that's obviously Aaron Rodgers, but the Packers just do not have the type of talent that these teams have, from 1 through 53. And, sometimes it's about your biggest weaknesses, and the Packers definitely have more weaknesses. They don't have those premier players on defense. The Bears have, a couple big-time guys, obviously Khalil Mack being back. He's such a difference maker, and the Vikings are loaded with three or four Pro Bowlers on that defensive side. And so, I think it's going to be a Bears-Vikings showdown when it comes down to the end of it. The Vikings do have, as you said, a tough schedule. I believe they have to play New England at some point. And obviously the other team, they have to play the Packers again, and they have to play the Bears twice. And so, they've got some, and they have to go to Seattle, I think, at some point, this year. So yeah, the Vikings have a tough battle, and the 5-3-1, I can see them being an 8-8 team. I really can. It would not surprise me them being an 8-8 team. It also wouldn't surprise me if they're 11-5. I think the Vikings are going to be one of those teams where it's going to be a couple plays here and there in some of these games that's going to sort of decide their season. And that the difference between 7-9 and 10-6 is very, very small.
Yeah.
It depends if the Vikings make those plays or not.
Yeah, and it wouldn't shock me either if this is the first of three matchups between these teams. They happen to run into each other in the wild card round or something like that. Lastly here, and then we're going to go to a quick break. This is why you pay Cousins all that money. It's crunch time, and you hopefully get in the playoffs, and it continues into some momentum there. But I do know that the real challenge for the Vikings is going to be getting that Chicago Bear front blocked up, led by Mack.
Yeah, you would think, Vikings Bears probably more defensive game, right? But as we're in its history, but as we look at it here, I think it might be a high scoring affair. I mean, obviously the game's going to be in Chicago, I believe, and the weather probably won't be great, but I think it's going to be more of an offensive football game, and it'll probably come down to, again, who makes that big mistake. And if I'm a Vikings fan, I'm concerned because it seems like almost every game Kirk Cousins makes one really bad mistake, whether it's a sack, fumble, or an interception that gets returned for a touchdown, something like that. Statistically, all his numbers are great. QB rating and touchdown interception rating and his completion percentage. He's playing really good football on the stat sheet. But if you ask a Vikings fan, you're going to get a little some mixed results of what you hear. He said that he makes those sort of he compounds a problem with another problem sometimes. If you can, my guess is Khalil Mack is going to create some problems. So, what Kirk Cousins has to do is not compound a great pass rush with, again, a sack, fumble, or trying to force a ball down the field and throwing it to the other team.
Yeah, it's well said. We're going to take a quick break, and then I want to talk about a game that happened on Sunday. It was one of the bigger games of the week. So we'll be right back. All right. Sunday night, I talked to the Locked On Patriots host and the Locked On Titans host, and Titans won that game pretty handily, and I don't really want to talk about the status of the teams because I think the Tennessee is really finding themselves in a good place. But I want to talk about both quarterbacks, including Brady. I've always said Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady are like the best deodorant ever, Sage. Any problems, they make it go away. And I fear, not that he's a bad player or a problem, but I fear that he no longer can be the ultimate deodorant. And when the line's falling apart and you have no Gronk, I wonder if Brady's starting to show a little age. And I might regret those words to no end a month from now.
Well, listen, not having Gronkowski, that's a big issue for New England. It really is. And Edelman got hurt in this game as well, and he didn't finish the game. And so, you know, not having those guys really hurts them. And in the past, you know, Gronk has been so valuable. And when he's been out, the Patriots offense generally just has not been the same. And so not having him hurt him in this football game. The line has a couple guys out. I'll tell you, Dante Scarnecchia, the offensive line coach for New England, I think he might be the best O-line coach in the history of the game. I mean, he to me is like a Hall of Fame offensive line coach. He's one of the one of the greatest ever. And unusually in this game that with the Pirates some of these backups in, they had some pressure on Tom. And so not having Gronk there. And not having all the linemen there, Tom gets exposed a little bit. He's not the greatest athlete in the world. He's got great pocket presence, but if the pocket truly breaks down, he's not going to get out of the pocket and make something happen. And that's what happens when you have a bad O-line and you don't have your security blanket slash, really number one receiver in Gronkowski. It'll expose some of those weaknesses. And obviously that's Tom's ability to run around and make plays. That's just not his thing.
Yeah. Again, I'm not taking a thing away from Brady. He's still playing really well. I just don't think he's playing as well as the top 5, 6, 7 quarterbacks in the league right now, where he always is in that conversation. And I don't know that, and again, I don't blame him. I think he's less likely to stand in there and take the hit, to deliver the football, and probably hurts a heck of a lot more than it used to. And I don't know that he's throwing the ball quite as well as he did even a year ago.
Yeah, he missed a couple of throws in this game, and there was an out route to the left on about a 3rd and 7 or 8 or something, and he just threw it in the dirt and had bad balance, and you don't see that very often. If you all Tom's strengths of his career, his competitiveness and leadership and toughness and all those things, and obviously him understanding the game, his accuracy has been incredible.
Right.
I mean, he and Drew Brees and Rodgers, their accuracy. Is from an every type of route. You just see balls hit receivers right in the chest, almost like, I'm not going to let you drop this pass. It's going to stick to your chest. I mean, that's where he generally puts it. And there's a couple accuracy issues in this game. But, people love, every time the Patriots lose, it seems like the conversation goes, is this the end of the dynasty? And is this the end? And I think I said that 3 or 4 years ago. I was like, yeah, I think we're going to come to the end here. And you realize that never actually happened. So I'm... one, they're going to win their division. Their division is absolutely terrible. Other than them, it's probably the worst division. You got the Jets, the Bills, and the Dolphins, and they all stink. So, they're going to win that division easy. They're going to be in the playoffs. I don't know if they'll get a 1 or 2 seed, but they're going to be there. They're going to have a chance. And, if they get Gronk back healthy, and maybe that's a thought. I mean, shoot, leave Gronk out for the next, 6 weeks or who cares, right? I mean, let's get him for the main stretch down at the end and try to win the Super Bowl, because if they don't have Gronk for the playoffs, I don't see them winning that first playoff game.
Yeah, and their bye is coming up this week, which I think is perfect for them. They may finish the season like gangbusters and the best team in the league. And I might be going, boy, let's delete the September 12th podcast when I said Brady might be slipping.
Well, he might be slipping a little bit, but in that division, he's not going to get exposed enough where we really see it. So I'm one of those, I'm very hesitant to say he's done until I actually see him for like 5 straight games play terrible. That's when I'll be like, okay, he's finally done. Like this year, we see Eli is obviously done. Peyton at the end, you see that. And I haven't seen enough poor play out of Brady yet to say he's done. And I don't think I'm going to probably ever see it. He'll probably retire before we actually see that bad downhill slide.
Probably right. And as for Mariota, I've been a defender of his. I've been a fan. I've been a believer. He's been hard to defend at times, but you could always blame the injuries, all the new systems, even this year, it's a brand new system. He's been injured. And I think those things were true. And I think the last 2 games, Titans got 2 big wins over the Cowboys and the Patriots. I think they're a playoff team. And I think their quarterback has become an asset and is really going the right direction.
Yes. And I agree with you. I think we're very similar with Mariota is that, you want him to succeed, right? I mean, he's just sort of exudes everything you want in a quarterback, his leadership mm-hmm. skills and the way he handles himself off the field, on the field. You know, he's like a great ambassador to the game, and he's a great ambassador for the Tennessee Titans, but he definitely has his ups and downs. And he doesn't have a cannon for an arm. He throws a nice ball, but he doesn't have that big, you know, Rodgers or even a Kirk Cousins type arm, you know, so he sort of has to use all of his skill sets to be a quality player. I will say in this offense, Matt LaFleur, the offensive coordinator, you know, that comes from that Shanahan McVay tree. Mm-hmm. I always feel like the quarterbacks in that, now obviously Jared Goff was different last year with McVay, but usually it seems like the first half of the season, they're trying to figure it all out in that offense. And it does seem like the second half of their rookie year, or that first year with this type of system slash like the second season in it, I feel like quarterbacks play really, really well. So, you know, maybe Marcus is sort of over that first half and he's, you know, starting to get some things figured out in this offense. And obviously maybe LaFleur is starting to get some things figured out with what, you know, his quarterback does well. Right. So they need a few more weapons in that offense. I will say that, I like their, Corey Davis, the receiver, but other than that, they don't have great players. It definitely isn't like the Bears or the Chiefs or anything. So yeah, they can use more weapons on offense. But yeah, I mean, I like when quarterbacks are, you know, they don't always play great, but if they continue to play, have more good than bad, you like to see that progression.
Oh, for sure. And take another quick break, and then I have two AFC North topics I want to bring up with Sage. All right. We are back, and I just wrote an article about where the Steelers' offense is, but more where Ben is after that great game where he, you know, threw five touchdowns, just dismantled the Panthers. But early in the season, his accuracy hasn't been great. His decision-making hasn't been great. That despite this Panther game, and he's certainly playing better and better, I think he needs the balance that the Steelers' offense provides around him, namely their offensive line and the running game.
Yeah, you know, that Steelers offensive line, I think they're one of the better ones in the league. But yeah, at this point, Ben's not like, he's not the guy who can carry the team as much as, you know, before. So he has to, you know, disperse the ball to those weapons. And I don't think he likes to take those hits as much as before. You know, that gets old, you know, feeling beat up all year. And obviously he's been one of those guys who's constantly been, you know, injured or you know, questionable, and played through a lot of pain in his career. So I don't see him being that guy, you know, maybe staying a little bit for playoff time. But, you know, I think it feels like they're trying to get the ball out of his hands a little bit quicker, not have him take those hits, try to get through this season healthy.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, he usually does miss some time here and there, but he's really the last couple of years about the least hit quarterback in the league. I mean, that protection's been really good for him. They have balance. They have weapons. I think that offense is in a really good place, too.
Yeah, yeah. It all starts up front.
Yeah.
You can draw up all sorts of good running schemes and passing schemes and great pass patterns that attack coverages. But if you can't protect up front, and that really hurts. And now the nice thing, what they're doing is they're running the ball well. You know, it's a quarterback's best friend. And, you know, obviously, as a Steelers, you got to be really happy with the way this Connor kid has played this year in replace of Le'Veon Bell and that whole situation. So they've sort of weathered the storm in that. And I feel like, you know, whatever Bell does, it doesn't seem like he's going to come back, but whatever he does, this team will be just fine. And I think they're going to be, you know, right in the hunt, probably, you know, come into that championship game. They are, you know, one of the best teams in the AFC.
Yeah. And it's not to the point where it is in the East, but it's the Steelers division now. I mean, the Bengals are crumbling. The Browns aren't a contender. Baltimore looks to be in a really bad place, too. And that's what I wanted to ask you about, too, is coming off their bye, I get the feeling that Harbaugh and the Ravens are going to kind of mutually part ways after this year. And if you kind of, not necessarily punt on the season, but Flacco's banged up, I would just hand it to Lamar at this point and say, show us what you can do. I mean, I know it hasn't been pretty throwing the ball, but I mean, if you're Suggs or Weddle or one of those guys, Yonda, and would you dislike that move and say, come on, man, give us a chance to win? Or do you understand because Joe's not great anyway and he is injured? He may not even be able to play start this game.
Well, this might be a decision that's out of the head coach's hands, and you sort of, I don't know all the ins and outs of that organization, but you know, a lot of times that decision is made maybe not by the owner, but the GM or the president of the team, or you know, whoever, you know, the upstairs people who write the checks, and they might want to say, you know, listen, we know what Flacco is. This team's not going anywhere. We're going to be starting over next year. We got to see if Lamar Jackson can play quarterback in the league, and you know, not necessarily worry too much about the wins and losses. Throw him out there. You know, they got him under contract for the next, you know, 4 or 5 years. Let's see what he can be. And I'm not saying that he can't, if say goes out there and plays terrible, doesn't mean he can't, you know, improve on that and play better sure. in the future. But, you know, listen, like, experience is a quarterback's best friend, and you prefer not to play him his rookie year. I think it's nice to be able to learn. But he did, you know, basically has pretty much sat, you know, for the first over half now of his rookie year. So he does have, you know, that experience. He's been through the fire and been through those things. Now it's, I think he's had enough time to get on that field. You know, this sort of reminds me of Eli Manning. You know, he was the first pick in the draft, sat out the majority of his rookie year. I think the Giants were even like 6-3 and they benched Kurt Warner for Eli. And I don't know if they won a game the rest of the year, but long term, that was the right decision. And it worked out well for the Giants with a couple Super Bowls. And so, yeah, I think it's time for Lamar Jackson, get him in there, see what he can do. Listen, he's obviously a good player, and I'd like to see him go through an entire game or, you know, a couple months of games, because, you know, you saw it at Louisville. Bobby Petrino right. was just fired after going, you know, they're 2-8 or 2-1 whatever they are. And they're missing their quarterback. It just shows how valuable he was to that team. And I wonder if he can be, as valuable to this Baltimore Ravens team, who's not going anywhere this year.
Yeah, I want to see him play a game start to finish without Joe Flacco standing on the field in the corner doing nothing. And I haven't liked the way Lamar Jackson's thrown the ball at the NFL level, but I like the way he threw to college. And my hunch, kind of like how we opened the show with Trubisky, is it would probably get better as the season went on.
Yeah, I think so. And again, he just needs those reps. Has to have them. Has to have those game reps. There's nothing more important than that. And he has, he's already seen sort of the ups and downs of the season. He's seen how the games are different in the NFL. The sort of, the ins and outs and how the game flow is. It's different than the NFL. And he's been through enough now where I think it's just a good time to put him out there. Ravens aren't going anywhere. Might as well give this kid a chance.
Yeah, I 100% agree. Sage, this was great. Let's do it again next week, all right?
Yep, looking forward to it.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.